Psalms chapter number 37. I hope you're not getting tired of hearing that either. Psalm 37. Real quickly, just let me mention this about our Bibles. We had a large number of Bibles put together on Wednesday night. And Miss Sandra told me today she's already stapled over 1,500 of those. I don't know how many's left far as ready to be stapled or whatever. I know there's still some there that needs to be put together. And if you know how to do that, you are part of it Wednesday night and you know how to do that or whatever, you can feel free to put some of those together today. But we are very cautious about the staplers. They're not toys, so parents, make sure your kid stays off of the staplers. They're electronic staplers, and they will put a hurting on you, okay? They're welcome to put Bibles together under supervision, but no kids on the staplers, okay? Because, I mean, if they get hurt, and those staplers will put a staple plumb through your finger. I mean, they come down with a lot of force. They're electronic. And they're certainly not a toy, okay? So leave the stapling to adults that know how to do that. And if you're interested in maybe doing, I know some stays that afternoon, if you want to, make sure you get with Miss Sandra to check with her about, because she's got everything laid out over there and been involved in stapling this week. Every day, I mean, how do you, one person staple 1,500 and how many, 1,580 or whatever? Huh? Something like that. And so she's had to put a lot of hours in over here stapling, okay? So keep that in mind, just a word of caution right there. Psalms 37, we'll begin reading. I want you to stand with me. You've been seated for a little bit. I want you to stand and as we'll look in the Word of God together. Verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse number 6, I did not get to deal with that on our last time being in this passage. But verse number 6 is really talking about your testimony. God bringing forth your righteousness as the light. Amen. As you practice these previous verses, as you do what's in these verses, God said the result of that is that I will bring forth your righteousness as light. You'll be a light. You're shining in the midst of a dark and a sin-cursed world. And so that verse 6 deals with your testimony. Verse 7, where we will be this morning, rest in the Lord. Does anybody need that?
Right. Amen.
Does anybody need spiritual, divine, heavenly, godly rest? Oh, my soul. Rest in the Lord. That's where it's found. That's who it's found in. Amen. Hello. True rest is not going to be found in any location on this earth. It's found in a person, and his name is Jesus. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, that's important, isn't it? Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Let's bow for prayer, then you can be seated. Our fathers, we bow before the open word of God again. We're thankful that we have access to your presence today through the Spirit of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for our salvation that you've made available to us and made accessible to us. I want to thank you that you did that by your grace, your love, your mercy, and through the avenue of faith. And I appreciate it, Lord. I'm glad you didn't attach works to that and a life of perfection and any of that. I'm glad you didn't attach that to it, or we'd all be in a mess this morning. But I want to thank you for your salvation, full and free. Lord, we pray that you'll help us today to be spiritually minded. I pray you'll direct my thoughts. Help me, dear Lord, to be spirit-filled. Nothing short of that will accomplish your will. And I believe that it's important that I be spirit-filled to preach. I believe it is likewise important for the listeners to be spirit-filled. I believe they'll be able to listen better. They'll be able to comprehend. They'll be able to receive the Word of God better if we are spirit-filled. Because certainly the flesh is not interested in the Scripture. The flesh is certainly not interested in the spiritual things of God. So I pray you help us to know today that you have a message for us. You have something to say to us. And may we hear, have ears to hear, God, what you say. Direct me, I pray. Oh, God, I'm just a man. Lord, I'm just a man at best. But, Lord, with your touch, your anointing, your unction, your power, Lord, that you can take us beyond the human. Take us beyond the natural. Take us beyond the usual and get us into the realm of the unusual, the realm of the spiritual, the holy, the divine, the supernatural. We pray, dear God, that you'd do great, mighty things in our midst today because you can. Do it because the devil don't want you to. Do it because we need it. And do it because we'll give you the glory and we'll bless your high and holy name for what you give to us and for what you do in us, on us, and through us here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, the grand privilege to be in the house of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for, Lord, giving us a Bible, sparing that through the generations, preserving that through the generations, that we have indeed, in fact, the Word of God right here on the pulpit this morning. Thank you for that. Have your way. Bless our visitors with a special blessing. Bless our church family. Thank you for them, Lord, that just faithfully attends, faithfully comes, faithfully prays, faithfully gives, faithfully supports the work of God here at RBT. Lord, we can't do it alone, but together we can accomplish your will. Help us now as we preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing and trust that you will have a spirit of prayer continually for us. Good to see Brother Bob in the service with us, praise God. Back from surgery and on the front row, Bible open, eyes opened, excited about being at RBT. And I'm looking at some tonight, this morning, you hadn't been in surgery and you're struggling this morning. So talk to Brother Bob and find out what's going on, amen. He's so excited he's turned his Bible over. Help him, Brother Silas. All right, as you've been with us in the past few services, the Lord has got us directed into Psalms 37. We're not going to do a verse by verse thing through the whole Psalm of chapter 37, but I do feel that God would have us to look at this Psalm in how it applies to us today. And don't ever forget that. Right. The Word of God is applicable to you.
Right.
Listen. As you read this psalm, you'll see verses that's very clear that God is speaking to Israel. They'll inherit the earth and things like that. But listen, here's a good thing to note when you're studying God's Word. Not all Scripture is written to me. But all Scripture is written for me. Okay? And so we're looking at that in light of the what's set in verse number 1, fret not thyself because of the evildoers. Some 20 different times, evildoers, workers of iniquity, or wicked people is referred to in this chapter. That's the context. But there's another group of people that's in this chapter as well, and they are called the righteous. The righteous. And this world, this chapter is made up of a seemingly cohabitating of between wicked people and righteous people in the same chapter. And there's warfare between them.
Right.
Light and darkness can't get along.
Right.
Wickedness and righteousness have nothing in common.
Right.
And so even in this chapter, there it's evident they're different, but yet we're in the same chapter together. And so it is in our day. We're living in a world. Amen. And basically there are two types of people in this world. There are those that are not saved, and there are those that are saved, and we are living in the same world, and friend, there is warfare taking place. Are you listening? And as I mentioned before, and I don't want to get there, labor too much there, but I mentioned before, it's not just that we're surrounded by wicked people, and our world is thickly populated by evildoers, and it's so evident. The news, the newspapers, the newscast. I mean, it's every day something's coming out about the wickedness of our day and the voting and all that's fixing to take place on transgendered mess being ushered into the public schools. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get on that. That'll run a good message. But I'm telling you, that fires me up. That fires me up when I realize that we had forefathers bleed and die, my friend, for religious freedom, not for immorality. And certainly not to force themselves on us so we could have free speech. But that's going to open up a whole can of worms, buddy, when that transgendered mess gets in. And then you got boys going in girls' bathrooms because they claim to be a girl. And you got girls going in boys' bathrooms because they claim to be a boy. And then you're going to have parents, rightfully so, that's going to be highly upset. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying we're living in a world, friend, that's absolutely corrupt. And it's wicked. And our country is following suit. Our country is following the pattern of other third world countries. Amen. God help us. Amen. God's people better get to praying. And our focus, number one focus, our first focus, ladies and gentlemen, is on the home. You may not have much say-so, and I don't have much say-so, and I don't know too many people in America, even though we are voters and taxpayers, have much say-so in our country. Isn't that amazing? It's going to come down to one Supreme Court judge that's going to make the call on homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Did they ask me to vote? Did they give me a chance to speak my voice? Negative. And the bend of our country and the direction of our country, don't be a bit surprised at that transgendered gom. Amen. If you don't know what that means, just look it up. That transgendered gom, it's going to be voted in probably, no doubt. And that Supreme Court judge, he'll vote that through probably. Amen. God help us. But we can look at our home. We can try to make sure we keep the corruption out of our home and raise another generation for the glory of God. Say amen right there. Focus on your children, raising them up to know what's right and what is wrong and what they should believe, and base it on the Bible. Give them something to stand on. Give them something to stand on so that when you're gone and I'm gone, they will still have a Bible and they will still have faith and they can stand upon the Word of God. Amen. Video games is not going to support them when the major heat comes in this country and immorality comes flooding in like a flood and morality is flushed down the tubes. Are you listening? They're going to have something to stand on. Amen. Forgive me, I felt a little something there. But that's what's going on in this chapter, and that's what's going on in our world. And in this chapter, there's 16. There are 16 commands given in the imperative mood, suggesting not only a command and order, but something that is essential. If you're going to survive, and by the way, I've not done it yet, but I'm going to do it. Right over the chapter 37, God give it to me this morning. You know what the whole summary is of this chapter? You know what the emphasis of this chapter is? Your spirituality is your survival. I'm going to write that right over the chapter, right there. Psalm 37, the whole emphasis to God's people is focus on your spiritual life, Focus on how you're doing, what you're doing, what you're not supposed to be doing. Focus on those things. Keep your spiritual life where it needs to be. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 5. Rest in the Lord. Verse 7. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself. Cease from anger. Fret not yourself in verse number 8. And the list goes on. And by the way, keep in mind, anytime God gives a command or an order, He knows you can do it. God won't tell me to jump over a building because He knows I can't do it. But He'll tell me to rest in the Lord because He knows I can do it. He'll tell me to trust in the Lord because He knows I can do it. The spiritual, listen, the Holy Spirit, when He moves into you at the moment of salvation, brother, brings in all of the resources you need to live for God in the midst of a wicked and ungodly world. Amen. That's right. Rest. We're down to verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Needless to say, but it's worth mentioning that verse number 7 contains the subject of rest in the Lord. But verse 7 follows the previous verses. Now I know that's deep, but it's practical in that you can't get to verse 7 to that resting in the Lord without coming through and plowing through and applying the things stated in verse 1 through 6. Amen. If you're not trusting in the Lord, verse 3, you're probably not going to rest in the Lord. If you're not delighting in the Lord, verse 4, you're probably not going to be resting in the Lord. Verse 5, if you've not committed your way to the Lord, we preached that last message, you're probably not going to be resting in the Lord. Oh my. Wasn't there a lot in our country and a lot in our personal lives for us to be agitated and irritated about, anxious, vexed, upset, in a turmoil. Everywhere you look, there's a turmoil. Even in churches, turmoil. Amen. Uproars. What do we need? We need to rest in the Lord. And we'll be looking at some of the definitions given about that in just a little bit. But this rest is in its proper place. The rest here in verse number 7 is not really speaking about a physical rest. Like you, when you lay down in the bed at night and go to sleep. It's not really talking about that. It's a rest that you find in the Lord. It is a spiritual rest. It is a mental rest. It is emotional rest. Amen. And so it is much deeper than that of the physical. In fact, Jesus, I believe, when He told His disciples in Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. I believe He was referring to a physical rest there. The verse goes on to say, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. You see that? I believe Jesus was saying, yes, you do need physical rest. I'm not going to get in that, but I had a medical individual tell me that I am run down. I said, I didn't really need you to tell me that. I could have told you that. That I am exhausted and run down. But physical rest is to address that. But the rest talked about in verse 7 goes beyond physical rest. It is a spiritual rest. Oh yes, there is a spiritual rest. Amen. And I wrote down some things here. I want to give it to you in just a little bit as the Lord will help me. But the physical rest is necessary and it is beneficial, right? You agree with that. Of course, too much of it will produce laziness. Because the more you get, the more you'll want, the more you'll have to have. And the next thing you know, you're sleeping 20 hours and awake 4. Right. But the point is, physical rest is necessary, right? Hello? Right. That's right. And your body sometimes will demand it. I mean, you'll collapse. Yeah, whether you're behind the wheel or not. Physical rest. But the spiritual rest that's talked about here is what we want to focus our attention on here this morning. Amen. Boy, I like that. Let me give you the definition. And then from that definition, we're going to emphasize three thoughts. The word rest in this passage, rest in the Lord, means to hold your peace, quiet yourself, be silent, amen, stand still. Those are some definitions of that word rest. And to illustrate what this word rest would imply, and I think we can relate to it, and I want to use this chair if I may, to illustrate what it means to rest. How many of you, of course, you're not standing, amen, you're seated on a pew, padded pew, mind you, thank God, comfortable pew, because you're probably going to be here a while, is probably what you, amen. You have to bag a lunch, amen, but here's what the term rest would imply. Now, what do you see there? What spiritual thing do you see there? When I'm resting, the chair is supporting me. The chair is holding me up. And it's not just holding me up, but it's taking the load off. We used to talk to people about that, you know, sit down, take the load off. I need to take the load off. What do you mean? Sit down. Put your weight on something else. Let something else support the load that you're carrying and the load that you're undering. And isn't that needed in our day? And except it being a chair or a padded pew, the text is saying we find our rest in the Lord. Amen. You take the load off in the Lord. Amen. And not only when I sat down in that chair was the chair supporting me, it was holding me up. It was, listen, enabling me to take the load off, to exchange the load from me to it. Amen. And you notice that I had faith in the chair when I sat down in it. I didn't stop and say, and this one is a little wobbly, it's older than I am, I think. I didn't check it out. Do you notice that? I just sat down on it. You know what that is? I've got faith that that chair will support me, hold me up. I can put my load on that chair and find rest. You know how? You know why I done it right then? Because I've sat in this chair many times, hundreds of times. I have sat on this chair. It has been faithful before. It has supported me before. It has been what I needed before. Are you listening? I've took the load off many times before. Right there. I've sat right there and found rest. I've sat there and found blessing. I have sat right there because it has been proven to be what I need. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad that we can find rest in the Lord. You can't find rest in the world. You find everything that demands rest in the world. It's where your turmoil's at. That's where your agitation's at. That's where your irritation's at. That's where your aggravations are at. That's where all of the problems of life are in this world. And if you don't learn to know. Do you notice I didn't have to look around to try to find an illustration? I knew where it was at. I'd been there before. I'm glad I know where my rest is at. It's in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have any, let me ask this today. Do you have confidence in the Lord? Do you really, listen, do you really believe that if you go to Him with the load and the aggravations of life and the things that's bothering you and burdening you down and beating you up, amen, do you really believe that if you go to the Lord and that you can find rest? Of course, keep in mind now, you can't find rest if you delete the previous verses, specifically and particularly the previous verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Remember how we dealt with that? That word, commit thy way unto the Lord, means that you roll it off of you on to the Lord. It didn't say commit your ways. It said commit your way to the Lord. If the Lord can get your way, He's got your ways. Some of you are struggling spiritually because you're wanting to sift through and give the Lord this way and that way and this way, but not this way, but not that way. I'm going to keep that way. Amen. Commit thy way. Roll it off of you onto the Lord. You know why some of you can't find rest? Amen. You're carrying that load around. You won't roll it off of you onto the Lord, that burden that's on you. And listen, come on, can I get a witness? Is there not burdens in our life? Some of you here this morning, hey man, you've got burdens in your life physically. Brother Bob, I know, does. And this lady back here talked about her husband this morning battling with physical infirmities. And weeks a week he couldn't even come to church this morning, got up to come and couldn't make it, had to go back, lay back down. Are you listening? Hey, there's people that are dealing with physical infirmities and they're, amen, that's right, physical breakdowns. People are dealing with financial issues. They're dealing with all kinds of things. And if you don't learn to find that rest in the Lord, you don't learn, listen, and it is something that you have to learn. Listen, hello, come on now. All 16 of these down through this chapter are commands, but God's commands are not forced on us. That's a good statement right there. God's commands are not forced. They appeal to our will. And in other words, they involve a choice on our part. Trusting the Lord is a choice. Delighting yourself in the Lord is a choice. Amen. Committing your way unto the Lord is a choice. Resting in the Lord is a choice. When I went over there a moment ago and sat down in that chair, I wasn't made to do that. I chose to do that because I saw the benefits of it. Rest in the Lord entails a choice. If I could, I want to give you this. Lord gave this while the ensemble group was singing. Why would I want to trust in the Lord, rest in the Lord? Why would I want to seek that rest in the Lord? Listen to this. Because I've already got a rest from Calvary, from my sin. God's already met my greatest need. Hey, the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Those out there living in sin, they're not to be envied, buddy, because they are hard working to take care of their desires of sin. And it's wearing them down, wearing them out. And listen, I have already got a rest found in the Lord from my sin. The Bible said in Hebrews that there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Amen. Did you know there's no rest in light of this text for the wicked? There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Verse number 7, the rest there is in it is being addressed to the righteous. It's being addressed to the people that are saved. Those that are in sin, and if you're here today and you're lost, I've got good news to you. I've got some good news. Good news number one is you cannot ever find rest for your soul in sin. It does not exist. I know the devil will lie to you as he did me. He will tell you, you know, follow me and I'll take you places and I will. You know what? He always promised, but he never did produce. He offered, Brother Mark, he offered to pay. Follow me and I'll make it worth your while. But all he ever paid me with was Monopoly money. Wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. Are you listening? The devil's a liar. He does not play fair. He does not care about you. He doesn't care about your family, your children, your marriage. He does not care about this country. He does not care about the world that we are living in. He doesn't care. All he's interested in is his own way, getting his own things and having you to serve his will. But watch this right here. I'm going to reference this one verse, give you those three things out of our text. Listen to this verse of scripture right here. In Luke chapter, listen, I said lost people don't have rest. They can't find rest. Rest is in the Lord. You got to be saved to have access to the rest, amen, that's in the Lord. Am I right? Amen. Listen to Luke chapter 11 and verse 24 in light of the context of Jesus dealing with this demon-possessed individual. And Jesus said in verse number 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Right there, if you want a biblical summary of what it is to be a lost, unsaved person, seeking rest and finding none. That's why that we have rivers of alcohol drunk every 24-hour period of time in this country. What are they looking for? They're looking for some rest. They're thinking I can drown my problems. They think that I can drown my aggravations and it only demands more next time. Those that are drunks today, those that are alcoholics today, they are not so because they sipped one sip and that was it. They drank one, tasted one, drank one the next day, or a few days, it turned into a six pack and a case and a keg, and next thing you know, they can't get enough. They're amen, and then they go to a place where they're trying to find rest and finding it not. They've got to the place where now that all the alcohol they consume and liquor they consume is not sufficient. It's not good enough. It's not taking the edge off. Amen. Now they have to go along with that. They have to bring in pills now. And they have to bring in, hey, come on, that's right. And then it progresses and even further to the point that the beer and the liquor and the pills don't do. It's not doing the job. Now we're having to bring in the big stuff, the hard stuff. Amen. And then they draw their last breath and go to a premature grave. Still trying to find rest and finding it not. Millions of dollars are spent in trying to find rest. Movie stars, sports stars spend millions. I know some of us, we see their contract or we hear about their contracts that they get millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to play for 3 years, 4 years, or a year or whatever it is. And we think, my goodness, I could play 1 year and live fine the rest of my life. But they don't, they're in a whole nother bracket. And more times than not, what happens is they go through that money and many of them file bankruptcy. Millions. I'm talking about millions of dollars. And they don't have enough money to pay attention with. Right. People win the lottery and all of that stuff and millions of dollars put in their hands and within 6 to 7 years they're bankrupt and having to file bankruptcy. Yeah, boy, that's a restful life. Isn't that something you just want? Man, I'd just love to get out there and have all that money and be miserable. I said that sarcastically. I hope you understand. I wouldn't swap places with none of them. Last night, my wife told me this morning, and she, it's a wonder I'm not black and blue. She beats on me because I'm snoring. She said, "You go to sleep so fast." I said, "I'm not under conviction." I took the implication of there was, I go to sleep fast, she don't go to sleep fast. I'm not under conviction, so she must be under conviction. Amen. Hey, that's right. Hey, when you're resting, hey, if I sit here long enough, praise God, even if you're looking at me, if I sat here long enough, I guarantee you my eyelids would start folding. Praise God, amen. There's a rest in the Lord, amen. Write this down. First of all, and I've already covered this somewhat, and I'll just bump it and go to number two. I note three things about this rest. And mostly this comes from the definition. The first one is there's a lack of rest when there is a lack of submission. If you're going to get the rest that is in the Lord, you are going to have to submit yourself to the Lord. Right there is the reason most people, their spiritual life, listen, their church going life, their Christian life, their spiritual life has no joy in it. Brother, I'm telling you, I know personally what it is to have the turmoil and the anxieties and the worries and the fretting and the fearing and all of, I know that. There's no halo on my head and angel wings on my back. No. I know what it is to deal with things after the flesh. I know what it is to worry. Are y'all listening? I'm not up here saying I've arrived. I know what it is to deal with things after the energy of the flesh, buddy, and try to figure it out and fix it in the flesh, and all it does is just wear you out, zap your energy to where you are in desperate need of rest. But instead of going to the Lord for rest, how many times does the flesh, in a moment of weakness, says, why not go to the world? What you need is something of this world. Am I the only one in here that's had that? Am I the only one that's heard the wicked voice of the flesh that would suggest, does it suggest go pray? Does it suggest go to the Lord and commit your way to the Lord and roll that off of you onto the Lord? Does it say that? Negative. No, it says you just don't need to pray today. You don't need to read your Bible today. It won't hurt for you to miss a few services of church. And next thing you know, your spiritual life is in a tornado. It's a whirlwind. Right. The lack of submission. Amen. John Gill said about this rest that it is quietly submitting to God's will. That's where rest is. That's a good statement. That old Puritan writer many years ago said that's what it is. Rest is that quiet, just quietly submitting to His will. But anyway, I have found, Brother Brad, that there is a rest, there is a freedom, there is a liberty that comes to your soul when you come to the Lord and you say, God, and your hands are full. You come to the Lord, your hands are full, your shoulders are weighted down with the burdens of life, and you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I can't handle this. And the Lord says, I can. Empty your hands, relieve your shoulders of the weight, and cast all, hey, we've got an invitation, Brother Bob, 1 Peter 5:7, casting, hey, by the way, that is not casting like casting a fishing rod. Cast a fishing rod, I cast it out and I reel it back. That's the way we do, isn't it? Brother Webb, that's the way we do our burdens. That's the way when we're under a struggle. That's the way we do. We come to the altar and we, okay, Lord, I'm casting my cares upon you. And then when we get up, Sister Knowles, to go home. Reel it back in. And then we take home the same thing we brought to church. Are you listening? But we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. I can't figure it out. It's bigger than me. It's whipping me. It's wearing me out. The Lord, you told me to cast my cares onto you, Lord. And here it is. Psalms, what is it? Psalms 55, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. Amen. Amen. That's what some of you can't find rest in your spiritual life. You can't find pleasure and enjoyment in your spiritual life. Why? Because you're unwilling to submit to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. Isn't that basic preaching right there? Hadn't we heard that kind of preaching right there a lot? But how many people struggles? How many times, though I've done the preaching, how many times I've been weighted down by not doing what I preach? My wife's told me that so many times, and it makes me mad every time. She says, why don't you listen to your own preaching? Oh, yeah. Why don't you, come on, husbands, does your wife say something like that? Why don't you listen to your own preaching, amen? Get up here and preach about faith and trust and committing your way to the Lord and giving it to God and letting Him have it and, hey, amen, just enjoying His ability instead of mine. And then next thing you know, we're all to pieces. We're wringing our fingers, biting our fingernails off. Hey, amen, drinking Maalox by the gallons and we're thinking unto God, what is this? What in the world is going on? Lack of submission to the Lord. How many of us seems to be always uptight, always on edge, always short-fused? I'm talking to somebody. Do you hear it? Ring, 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 ring. That's the number. Pick it up. Always on edge, uptight, short-fused. Hey, instead of smiling, your face is fail. That's why them movie stars, they get the face lift. Their face fail. We might need to bring that into the church because a lot of people, their faces fail. Instead of smiling, they're frowning. Instead of shouting, they're pouting. Amen. Say amen. The lack of submission. Why is people on edge like that? Why is people short fused like that? Why is it that people's ready to throw something, hit something, kick something? Why? You know why? You're dealing with it yourself. Lack of submission. Lack of submission. Lord, this is killing me. Some of you need to tell the Lord that. He knows it, but He wants to know that you know it. Lord, this is killing me. Trying to figure this out. Amen. Listen, put it in the hands of God just like I did myself in that chair. Put yourself in the support of God and trust Him with the outcome. Many times we're so circumstantially controlled. We smile as long as the sun is shining and everybody's patting us on the back and everything's going well at the job. We got 4 raises and we're making plenty of money. None of the kids are sick and the dog's not barking in the pen. Oh, we're fine. But what about, as Brother Silas said, opening Sunday school, which most of y'all didn't hear. What about if you go to praying for something and the opposite happens? I tell you, I got a plan. You want the disguise to open up? Pray for rain. Brother Silas said every time he prays for this, that happens. He prayed yesterday because they were going up and doing an astronomy night. I want to make sure I get that right. Amen. They were going to do an astronomy night up at a church in Kingsport, was it? And it was cloudy, and they couldn't see the stars and all that. And so they needed. And so he said he was praying, "Lord, open the skies up so we can see. The heavens declare the glory of God. Lord, if you'll open up the skies tonight so we can see, we'll give you the glory." And he said it started raining. So maybe we need to fake the devil out and pray for the opposite. Oh, you're praying for rain? Oh, we'll open up the heavens, amen. No. Lord, help us. Lack of submission. Number two, write it down. I've done spent too much time on that. Number two, a lack of silence. That was in the definition. Rest in the Lord. You know what? Some of you, hey, come on, hello. Get it now. Some of you can't rest because you can't keep your mouth shut.
That's right. Amen.
I know that's true physically. Have you ever tried to go to sleep with your mouth open and your Gatling gun talking to your mate and you're rattling off my wife tells me all the time. I hate to get so personal. My wife tells me all the time. I'll be talking. Now listen, Brother Craig, this happens now. She'll be laying over there, she'll be talking to me. Talking about something during the day, whatever, da da da. And then when I start talking, when I respond or start talking, I can quote it. I'm trying to go to sleep over here. Come on. Y'all see any lopsided deal there? Long as she's wanting to, amen. Long as she's yakking, it's fine. But when I want to say something's meaningful, something that is worth hearing, amen. Something that's dripping with wisdom. What does my wife do? My wife says, hush up. I'm trying to go to sleep over here. In other words, you can't go to sleep with your mouth open, and it's hard to go to sleep with somebody else's mouth open. Some of you are irritated, agitated, aggravated this morning because your mouth has been open with complaining and murmuring and gossiping and lying and all of that, or else you can't get rest because other people's mouth running their mouth to you. Can't have rest because of a lack of submission. You've not committed your way unto the Lord. You've not put it all in His hands and drawing strength from His support. Lack of submission, lack of silence. Quietly submitting yourself to the Lord. Coming before the Lord. And by the way, did you know that praying, I'll be done in a minute, not a minute, but we'll be done shortly. I don't want to lie in the pulpit or out of the pulpit. I lost my train of thought there. I got on that. I thought, oh, Lord, help us. What was I saying? Y'all don't know. You wasn't listening. Come on now. Help me, Lord. I don't know. I'll get it in a minute, maybe. Maybe I wasn't supposed to tell that. Maybe you couldn't have handled it. I don't know. Lack of silence. Lack of silence, all right? Yes, ma'am. Hey, thank you, sis. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God I had one listening. Amen. Makes me feel better. I didn't think nobody was listening. Prayer is, make sure I get it right. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is not just one person doing the talking. Prayer is really a conversation. I don't know what the log term is for that. Dialogue. Thank you, sis. Appreciate it. Got two listening. Three listening now. It's a dialogue. I say something, another person says something. When's the last time in prayer you were saying, you was praying, you was petitioning God, and then you took time and waited and listened and let God speak to you? How do we do it, Brother Child? Father, we have all these heartaches, burdens, troubles, trials, tribulations, afflictions. Lord, clear them all up. Help me, provide for me, feed me, clothe me, take care of me, give me a new boat. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and head off. And the Lord's like, it's like the Lord said, but. That's the way we do. You might as well nod your head like it's right here. We come running into the Lord's presence, throw all of our stuff out there, and then get up and leave. Silence. We got to have submission if we're going to have this rest. We're going to have silence if we're going to have this rest. By the way, silence is not, listen, it's not just a verbal silence. It's also a silence of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what that says? Your mouth matches your heart. If your mouth is motorized, that's coming from your heart. Sometimes you can zip your lip and be quiet here, but your heart is still speaking. This rest right here involves a silent inside before the Lord and a submission to Him. Thirdly and last, is this, it deals with a stillness. That was in the definition of that word rest, is a stillness. You know, just as I said, it's hard to go to sleep with your when you're running your mouth or somebody else running their mouth to you. Amen. Now, I can go to sleep better with that. I have went to sleep before and Lisa talking to me. Several times. Oh, that was pleasant. But now I have a hard time going to sleep with me talking. Well, anyway, that's just another little note on that other thing there. But stillness. The rest that is in the Lord comes not only, it's not only in the Lord, but this rest comes from the Lord. This rest comes from the Lord. Here's the word, here's your verse. Psalms 46:10, be still. That's the word. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. This rest, this stillness is illustrated in Mark 4:39. Jesus speaking, He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And what happened? And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You can have rest when there's a submission. There, you can have rest when there is a silence. You can have rest when there is a stillness. When you come before the Lord, listen, sometimes the Lord stills the storm around you. But then at other times He stills the storm within you. But there's got to be a stillness. Getting still before the Lord. Taking some time before the Lord and with the Lord, that He might help you. Amen. Amen. Rest in the Lord. Let's all stand on our feet.